Praise the Lord. I'm excited about the teaching today. We're going to be doing part two of a teaching on the rending of the veil, what it means. And you stay tuned. Now let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, just touch the people as they receive this teaching today. And Lord, let their spirits be just touched and lifted up. And Lord, I love you with all my heart, and I want to convey to your people the understanding of what it means for the veil to be rent. God, in Jesus' name, anoint this teaching by your Spirit. Amen and amen. We're going to finish up a teaching that we started, and we're going to go back to Matthew, the 27th chapter, and repetitious of yesterday's teaching, but we want to read this so people will know where that we're at. In Matthew 27, verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went in the holy city and appeared unto many. We covered in the part one of this teaching, we covered the understanding of what took place in the far as the veil. And here the writer explains the fulfillment of this thing, the fulfillment of it, all the way down to after his resurrection. But he went to Calvary. Christ went to Calvary. And when he said it's finished, and he paid the price, that supreme price, to become that price paid, the perpetuation for sin, then the veil in the temple was rent. And understand, over in the 9th chapter of Hebrews and throughout many different scriptures in the Old Testament, it bears out the understanding of this veil and of the tabernacle, of how they had the showbread, they had the main sanctuary, they had a veil, and you go behind that under the Holy of Holies. And then that was where in verse 4 of Hebrews 9, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. Now, the priest went one time over in verse 7. The priest went beyond that veil one time. The high priest went one time every year, and he went with blood to atone for the sins of the people and also for offering atonement for himself. And here we find that understanding in the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Knowing that the fulfillment of that was that Jesus went and preached to those that was in prison, their spirits was in upper Sheol, but they could not be loose to go on into heaven because the sins could not never be paid for by the blood of an animal or a sacrifice of some blood shed from an animal. It had to be the precious blood. It had to be the blood of Jesus Christ. So he went those 3 days and three nights. He preached to those. They were set free. The Bible said they were seen on the streets of Jerusalem. He had to ascend to the Father, and he had to take these Old Testament saints. Now, in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verse 24, 25, and 26. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So he will do the same thing for the New Testament saints that he done for the Old Testament saints. But thank God, he don't have to go to Calvary but one time. He don't have to shed any more blood, and he don't have to die anymore. He has died once, and he died once for all. So if you can get the picture of this, Here's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We covered that in session number one of this teaching. And Melchizedek was the high priest. According to the understanding of God's word, the high priest had to go one time a year in behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. And there, the high priest had to make that sacrifice and that offering of blood upon the altar. But once Christ died, once that veil in the temple was rent, it was thrown wide open so that all men can go directly to God. And thank God we today can go to the Holy of Holies. We can go direct to Christ, and we can speak to God directly through Jesus Christ. Now, if we go back in the ninth chapter, and let's cover a little bit more here. In verse 12, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? Then in verse 15, it begins to teach us for the next few verses there. If you have time to read it, take your Bibles and read in Hebrews, the ninth chapter, verse 15, all the way down to verse 19. And we find here the teaching is of the understanding of a testament. And see, a testament is no good until the person dies wherein that it was given. The New Testament is a testament of Jesus Christ. He had to die to fulfill for you and I that we could receive to become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So when he died, this fulfilled it. It's after the order of the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, first of all, when a man had maybe, say, he had four sons, the elder son inherited everything first. And then he had to die before the other children could receive their inheritance. So if you understand, Jesus Christ received the fullness of God. He was heir of God, and when he died, he made us an heir and a joint heir with him. Everything the Father had, he gave to the Son. And the Son, through dying and leaving that testament to us, then we become heirs with him and joint heirs with Jesus Christ to God. Fulfilling the order of the Old Testament. So if you can understand that part, when he died, he paid the price wherein our redemption plan was paid for, and in doing so, he made us to receive that which he had received from the Father, he freely gave to us. Now, in verse 20, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto me. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. So by the law, this atonement had to be, but also by the order of God. This was the sacrifice that Isaac said to Daddy, the fire and the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. He will provide for himself a lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And I'm going to try to sum this up here in the next few minutes so that it can be made simple enough that anyone can understand it. Anyone that wants to believe it. If you don't want to believe it, you ain't going to understand it. Understand the tabernacle. Understand the veil. And understand behind that veil was the Holy of Holies. And the priest went behind that veil one time a year to take the blood and to put that blood on the altar, on the sacrifice of that blood, to pay for the errors and the sins, according to Hebrews 9, chapter verse 7, of the people and also for himself. Now, when Christ died, down in verse 11 through verse 14, he fulfilled that wherein that he entered into the Holy of Holies. He became the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Wherein in the Old Testament, they all had to go to the priest to be able to get to God. But now, this veil was rent. Matthew, the 27th chapter, and we find the full understanding of how that veil was rent. In Matthew 27, verse 50 through verse 51. And it means that no longer would a man or a woman or anybody have to have a high priest to go and reach God. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed, they could go directly into the Holy of Holies. Now in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the finger of the truth, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he offer, have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's the fulfillment of it. And in verse 27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you that Christ died so that we no longer would need a high priest, but Christ became our high priest. We no longer needed a physical man, but we had the man Christ Jesus. God, thank you for the workings of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that the veil in the temple has been rent. And thank you, Lord, that a earthly man does not have to go behind the veil to the Holy of Holies. But we, by the name of Jesus Christ and by the authority of Jesus Christ, we can go to the throne of God, and that he has paid the price, making us heirs of God and joint heirs with him to all that God has for us. God, save to the uttermost. Let men and women understand the simplicity of the cross. And not, it's not a hard thing. It's a very simple thing. One came from on high, the Son of God, laid down a portion of his glory, took on the form of a man, the countenance of a man, went to Calvary and paid the price through the shedding of his blood that we have direct access to God. God, we thank you for that. Now let men call on you for healing, call on you for salvation, call on you for miracles. God, work the works of grace in those that will call upon your name. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to teach your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.